We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Are You Gonna Go My Way? Absolutely love it. Lenny Kravitz. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic, Trey Wingo here with you. Junior is taking some time off. Some
yes,
well-deserved
he is.
Time off.
On vacay for the weekend. I've already improved our set down here. If you're watching on ESPN 2.
Footstool's fantastic.
You guys, neither one of you ever wanted a footstool. I said, use a footstool. So now I'm sitting in Mike's chair because of our way we configured a two-person set instead of a three-person set. The first thing I did is I'm getting a footstool here. I went up. My wife said, that's a table. You're putting your feet on a table. Yeah, but when my feet are on it, doesn't it become a footstool?
Yeah, it's fair. I think that's completely fair.
That's my thought. Am I wrong in saying that, or am I just putting my feet on a table?
No. You know what it is? It's whatever it needs to be in the times that we have. Yeah. It can be a table, but today it's serving its purposes as a footstool because versatility is key in this day and age.
There you go.
So there we are. We are adapting to the times as needed.
Boy, what a horrific conversation we're having right now. Taylor Twelman is waiting.
Save us from ourselves.
Taylor Twelman waiting online going, seriously? I'm going to come on. They're talking about a table as a footstool. Well, we're talking a lot as sports are coming back. We have talked about how July is going to become an incredible month of sports starting back up again. And one of the things that's starting off with July 8th is the MLS back to, you know, the tournament begins July 8th. That's one of the first things that starts off July as teams are starting to either report or their league years are as well. And we know the leagues around the world, soccer leagues, have been going on. And as we said, some of the team sports here in the United States that aren't going to be in the bubble need to look at these leagues around the world and how they're doing their games, you know, and how their testing process is working. So Taylor Twelman, we thought it'd be really good to be talking about this.
And we're delighted to talk to Taylor. And Taylor, before we get into what we can copy from Bundesliga and La Liga and Serie A and all this stuff, let's talk about what we shouldn't be doing, which is what happened to the Orlando Pride. You know,
the
bunch of team members went out, Taylor, to a bar, and they contact traced it back to a bar. A bunch of players tested positive, so they had to drop out of the Challenge Cup in the NWSL. This is the example of how not to get back in playing, correct?
Absolutely. And before we get started, I appreciate Junior taking a break because I was nervous about thigh meat being all over my screen this morning. So it's in our best interest with that stool or whatever that nightstand is that, you know, Mike's sitting on right now.
So, Taylor, I take that as you don't think I should be put on a pair of short shorts tomorrow?
Please, God, no.
No, we're good. Mike, we're good, dude. We need the viewership to stay up where it is, pal. We need it.
Understood.
You're my hero, Taylor.
Understood.
Honestly, Trey and Mike, it's remarkable to me. There's two ways to look at this. First and foremost, you can look at it from a state government level. The fact that 338 bars and restaurants were open during this time is one way to look at it. However, Mike, you'll appreciate this, and Trey, as being as accomplished broadcaster as you are, you control what you can control. And so the fact that you, as a pro athlete, in preparation for your return to play, you think it's a good idea to go to a bar and go to a restaurant or go out and put in jeopardy not only your life, but more importantly, the careers of other players. You saw Sydney Leroux, the U.S. women's national team player, come out very hard on Twitter and Instagram about this, and she's absolutely 100% correct. Those athletes not only put their lives in jeopardy, but more so showed disrespect to all of the other teammates that trained and prepared to come back, and now Orlando Pride are the ones that, you know, because with all everything I've heard from behind the scenes, they're asymptomatic, they're not sick, and now guess what? Your teammates and their careers are put on hold because you thought it was good to go to a bar that night.
It is amazing. I mean, the disregard for what's going on in the world to do that. It blew my mind. So that's an embarrassment without question. We also had the number one tennis player in the world, Novak Djokovic, put on a charity tournament with no testing.
What could go wrong?
Social distancing. And that absolutely blew up in their faces as well. So you just don't understand the thought process sometime with people. So that being said, the MLS, like mm-hmm. the NBA, is going to go down to Disney World and start their season. So what you've heard of their protocols, and we had on Don Garber, the commissioner of the MLS, in talking about that. What do you think so far of what their protocols are and how that may go?
Well, Mike and Trey, it's interesting. One's been described as a mesh hat, and the other's been described as a bubble. The bubble is Major League Soccer. The mesh hat is the NBA. And if you're asking me right now, on June 25th, I'm nervous for the NBA, because looking at their protocol for those players, it's not as tight as what Major League Soccer is. Now, the San Jose Earthquakes, one of the franchises, they arrived late last night. I've watched video. I've seen how they're going in. It is quarantined up. They're going to the best of their ability, which is what I've said for the last 12 weeks. If your employer, he or she, can promise you the best health circumstances to their capabilities, because no one's going to be able to do it at 100%, then you as an athlete, you've got to take ownership and accountability on what you're going to do to help your team. Now, are there going to be positive tests? Absolutely. But Trey, Mike, this is what's interesting about this overreaction to positive tests that I've seen recently, is the Bundesliga had positive tests. The testing worked. They yeah. removed the players. The players were gone for 12 to 14 days. They came back, and the positive tests went down. You've got to be progressive and pragmatic with the amount of tests that you're doing. And so as long as these MLS players and staff are being tested every other day, which is what the protocol says, the protocol is going to work. If someone tests positive, they're going to get out. Now, the question is, and this is what everyone's talking about, is the hotel employees, because they are not being quarantined. Disney is not quarantining them. They can't quarantine them. That's going to be the interesting part with how the numbers have gone up in Orange County, Florida, over the last, I'd say, 6 to 7 days.
Taylor, I'm curious. Let's go back to, you called one a bubble and one a mesh hat. Why do you think, what's so different in your eyes that you see between what the NBA is planning and what the MLS is planning?
Now, the NBA right now, they're giving a little bit more freedom to their players in and around daily activities. MLS is not. MLS is scheduling everything, which is part of the reason why you've heard a couple MLS players call it a luxurious prison when they were in their negotiation to go there. Now, you can lose me with that, with 20-some-odd million people being unemployed. The paying customer doesn't care about that, right? But
right.
truth
yeah.
be told, when you compare them, the MLS player has looked at the NBA and said, hold on here, they have a little bit more freedom. Now, that may change. Quite honestly, I've heard it over the last 48 hours through some player reps in the NBA and whatnot, and some of the agents. That actually may change because of the numbers in Orlando going through the roof. But as of Monday this week, Wednesday of last week, one was being described as a mesh hat, and that was the NBA, because there was a little bit more wiggle room for that said athlete to do what he wants to do during this NBA playoff time.
Taylor Twellman with us, and we'll see what happens going forward with the MLS and the NBA bubble. Meanwhile, the English Premier League is back on track, and we are one win, or one lack of a win, for lack of a better explanation, away. Right? I mean, because the way it works in the Premier League, there is no playoff. You play the regular season, and whoever's the most points at the end of the season is crowned the champion. And Liverpool is within distance, Taylor, doing something they haven't done in 30 years, based on one match that I believe is played later on today, correct?
Yes, Chelsea plays Manchester City, and it's interesting, Trey. I always get a lot of the non-soccer fans in America ask me what it's like. It's very similar to college football, right? Where if a team doesn't win that game out of conference, then all of a sudden it helps your standing. That's kind of how the regular season goes in soccer around the world. Now, Major League Soccer, they have playoffs, but around the world, it's the regular season. That's it. It's remarkable that we're having this conversation, that it's been 30 years for Liverpool. Now, some of the fans listening, some of the fans watching at home are going to say, well, wait a minute. The Red Sox, it was 86 years. The Cubs was how many years? What you need to understand is that Manchester City, who plays Chelsea today, has spent 5x what Liverpool has spent to win. 5x. That's what, $1.8, $1.9 billion over the last 5 years to buy players, as opposed to what Liverpool has done. And so the reason why I use that is soccer, football around the world, it's so measured by how much money you spend on going to get the players and where you get there. And Liverpool has many a times in their history in the last 30 years in the Premier League where they've slipped up in the last weekend. Steven Gerrard slip up, which everyone knows what I'm talking about. They've just had one moment here or there where they've gotten in their way. A global pandemic was the only thing that could take that train off the tracks, and it apparently didn't. Liverpool will be champions, which is remarkable to say in this day and age.
Taylor Twellman joining us, our ESPN soccer analyst. As far as the one thing, Taylor, in talking about these leagues coming back and all the protocols and the 100-page this and the 60-page that, every commissioner that's come on or someone in an executive committee, we've asked, what's the doomsday plan? What's the number? And I know it's tough to give an exact number where you say, you know what, too much, got to pull the plug. Do you have something in your mind that can happen down in Disney for the MLS where you say, you know what, got to stop it, got to end this thing because too much is going on?
Mike, it's a great question. I'm going to look at it more collectively. I think if you have one whole team that can't participate, maybe two, then you've changed the competitive integrity of the competition, haven't you? And so that's how I look at it, right? Like, Orlando Pride is not going to the NWSL that kicks off this weekend, but it doesn't change it because they had nine teams, now they're down to eight. But let's say you play three or four games down in Orlando, and then all of a sudden you've got 14 positive cases within one team, and they can't play their next game until 12 days away. That's when this becomes an interesting situation. And that's where I think that's the doomsday. The doomsday for the NBA is much more difficult because let's say LeBron James gets it, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis. They don't have enough personnel to change that. But if LeBron James or any one of those big name stars gets it and has to sit out 14 days in the playoffs, Trey and Mike, they're done for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So you've now completely changed it. Now, does that mean they stop? I don't know. I don't think it does, because that's only one player where if you get an entire team infected and they can't participate for 14 days, you've completely changed the competitive integrity of the sport. That's where I think the doomsday is when I'm hearing all these commissioners talk behind closed doors.
No, you're right. And to that point, you know, one player can change a finals. We've seen it before. I mean, Kevin Durant last year was out in the finals and it changed the competitive balance. That you accept that part of it. But when it's multiple players for something you can't control, like the virus, you're right, then it becomes a different scenario completely. So we'll see what happens as they get set to head down there for their training camps and the beginning of the NBA, the resumption of the NBA season a little bit later on in July. Taylor, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yeah, it's a footstool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's exactly right. Meanwhile, there is a report out on The Athletic right now where there are some real concerns, according to one NBA commissioner, about the number of cases increasingly spiking in Florida and what that may do to the bubble scenario. Look, obviously a majority of those cases have been down in Dade County in Miami, but it's not that far away. And
well, the Orlando Pride was in Orlando.
Correct.
When the soccer team, when they went out to the bar and a number of players and staff tested positive for that. So we have the NBA is worried about the WNBA. All of a sudden there's a little bit of concern of, okay, wait a minute. We just got the protocols yesterday, you know, and now like the NBA had that deadline yesterday of, are you going to report? Today is the deadline supposedly for the WNBA players to decide if they're going to report to, and again, they're going to Bradenton, Florida at the IMG Academy. Is this a soft deadline or a hard deadline? Because a lot of them are like, well, wait a minute. We kind of just got the protocols, you know, a day or so ago. You know, we need some time to, you know, digest this and see what's going on down there. So there's a little bit of concern there about their bubble environment because Florida is, I know we, as we said, a lot more down in South Florida, but we have seen it in Orlando and it has been an issue in Florida. So all of a sudden you could have concerned WNBA players on the bubble situation and for NBA players on what they're all flying into.
And again, All this is ramping up to either conclude or begin seasons,
right.
But we all know what the big money maker is in sports in this country, and that's the NFL. And they are beginning to have their training camps starting at the end of July. We did have the news this morning that the first official league-sanctioned event has been canceled, and that is the Hall of Fame preseason right. game in Canton, Ohio, between the Dallas Cowboys and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the induction ceremony, which we've been very fortunate to be a part of for many, many years here at ESPN, it's one of my favorite trips of the year, has been postponed. We don't know when that will be. It could be next year and part of a larger ceremony. But again, there were two distinct Hall of Fame classes right. going in this year, with the centennial class having a different celebration later on in the fall. We don't know when that's going to happen or how that's going to happen. We just know that the game itself has been canceled. The enshrinement ceremony to this point has been postponed. But we're getting closer and closer to the end of that runway we've talked about with the NFL, and we have seen COVID cases spike in at least half the states in this country. One of the NFL players that we know of that has tested positive for coronavirus, despite the fact that he didn't want that to be out there, was Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott. He says he's feeling better, and in talking on Twitch TV, he's hopeful that the NFL will continue and be able to play. However,
I want to let you guys know, I do hope that we have a season. But I mean, it just has to be, right. We got to put the health of the players and the coaches and the support staff first. I mean, I think that's important.
And again, what is going to be the definition and Trey of
yeah.
right?
Correct.
I mean, you're going to have all the protocols in place. You're going to test and you're going to have positive tests. And so it's going to be up to those protocols. Are they working? Are the players following their side of it? The players have responsibility. All these athletes, we've just been talking about the PGA, where all of a sudden the commissioner's talking about, the players, y'all have been a little lax. You know, now maybe the setup isn't great either, because some are traveling outside this charter that they have because of the way it's set up. They all can't fit on the plane. So they are exposing themselves going from tournament to tournament, and it's starting to show in positive tests. But when they're together, they're not doing enough social distancing. Will players follow that? They'll follow it. Trey, you know they'll follow when they first get there.
Correct.
How about 3 weeks later?
Right.
How about 4 weeks later? How about if they start getting a little comfortable? Because here's what is going to happen. The first time players, and I'm just talking the NFL now based off what Zeke said, is we're going to see it when they report July 28th to training camps. Because right now players are everywhere. They'll eventually head back to their cities, their facilities, because that's where training camps have to be. And they're going to be tested. They're going to be tested even before they get there. You're going to get positive tests.
No doubt
about
it.
Guys are going to have to be quarantined for those 2 weeks. And then when they all start the training camp, there's probably going to be positive tests as well. I would probably take probably out of it. And guys are going to have to be quarantined. So it comes to how many can be quarantined, how long will it be, and how will it affect the team. But it's going to happen.
Right. There's no way around that part of it. We've certainly seen that with all the positive tests popping up in baseball with some of the players
right.
get back together. Kevin Seifert, who's one of our NFL writers on ESPN.com, has a great article up on the website right now, basically talking about the things that the NFL has to get right. And by the way, NFL owners are going to meet later today via conference call to discuss the status of plans for training camp and beyond. The specifics could involve or evolve over time, but the bigger picture will remain constant with the help of epidemiologist Kevin in this column has identified the five guiding principles the NFL really should follow. And the first is the hardest one to me. Establish the acceptable risk, because there's no way it's going to be mitigated 100%. It isn't. You can mitigate it some, and you can put in all these protocols. But as you said, even if you put in all these protocols, it's up to players, coaches, support staff, and their family members to abide by them. So what is the acceptable risk? I think that's the first, and it's also the hardest thing, right? Where is the line in the sand that you say, this is worth getting this? And that's the hardest part for all of things when they should think about this. The return of football would actually be great, but at what cost? And Dan Heider, the executive director of the Markela Center for Applied Ethics at Santa Clara University, said they should think in advance about the acceptable threshold. Is the value of resuming football brings worth the risks? How many lives would you be willing to give up to have football games?
I mean, that's crazy. What we said it.
Zero.
One life is too many.
Yeah.
One life, and you said, okay, this has been, we're done. You know, and my point is, even before, and you pray that doesn't happen with the sports that are going back on. But what about the first case where a player has to be hospitalized, has to go into the ICU,
right,
maybe has to be ventilated? Right. I mean, again, these are athletes, and I'm telling you, as a former athlete, when I was in my 20s, I know what my thought process would be. Well, even if I get it, it affects the younger people differently, even though we have seen some die from it. Younger differently, I'll just take my 2 weeks, and then I'll be back and ready to go, and hey, probably maybe won't get it again. So I'll be good to go. I'm telling you, that's a lot of the thought process from players who are going to play and get paid to play, except not the college athletes, as right, we talked about, but the pros. And then from the pros, from the professional side and even the college side, the big picture for them is the revenue that they're missing by not having these sports go on.
And then the next thing on his five, which is really interesting, where does football and social distancing intersect? Can it? I mean, Rams head coach Sean McVay said, I mean, we're going to social distance, but we play football. This is a conference call earlier this month. This is really hard for me to understand all of this. I don't get it. I really don't.
Oh, well, I don't either, because yeah, you have to understand something. You can't do social distance walkthroughs for 4 to 5 weeks and then say, okay,
now go hit each other.
We're in week one,
yeah,
and the games now count. When training camp starts, you're going to have that period of acclimation because players and coaches haven't been getting together. But then at some point it's going to be, okay, we're going to go play football. But the whole idea, Trey, I think is, okay, before we start hitting, we know everybody is negative.
Yeah.
We know everybody at this point does not have the virus. So now we have to go play football because you have to practice that way. You just can't do it. At some point you have to let them go. They have to hit the blocking sleds. They have to do the things that prepare you. You have to hit one another. The protocol is make sure you're tested negative and nobody has the virus as we have to hit each other and actually play the game of football.
Yeah, and I think the last two on here are really interesting because if you can navigate the first couple ones, then manage roster openings. To me, this is where the NFL has got to loosen the strings as much as possible. You have to understand that you have to prepare for the idea that you could lose multiple players
right,
for multiple weeks at several times during the season, which means you have to have a whole nother team basically set aside. An elevated practice squad probably won't be enough. You're going to have other players that you are willing and sort of ease the restrictions, all restrictions on availability of rosters, or this thing is not going to work.
Well, you saw what baseball did. They
yes,
start with a 30-man, go to 26 or 28, end up at 26, but they have a 60-man taxi squad.
There it is.
So players that they'll be able to pull from should there be an issue with the coronavirus. So, yes, they have to be prepared for that, no doubt.
And the other thing, Mike, which is so counterintuitive to how many players deal with football, I can play through it. I'll be fine. I'll be all right. Rub some dirt on it. I don't want to lose my starting spot or my spot on the specialty teams. So I think I may have this, but I can't tell anybody. And you know how many, you know how relevant that is in football. I can play through this.
I agree. But the only thing I'll say this time, you can hide an injury somewhat. Like if you
yeah,
get dinged a little in practice, like a head, you can hide that.
Yeah.
If they're truly doing especially the temperature check,
yeah,
and if you're asymptomatic and you feel, but you're trying to hide it, or you feel like you may have something, you try to hide it, one of those tests every day, like the temperature check, should bring up a red flag, correct?
Yeah, yes.
Again, I'm no doctor, but that's the whole idea. I mean, I'm back to working out, and my wife and I at our Orange Theory Fitness here in West Hartford, and they take a temperature before you go in every single time. And if it's above a certain number, you're not going in. So for players, even if they think they might feel symptoms and they're trying to hide it, if you get that temperature check and it's above a certain number, you know, it's kind of like the head injury. You take that helmet away, yeah, you protect the player from himself.
Exactly right. So there's a lot to navigate, and the time to navigate it is getting shorter by the day. Coming up, have secret workouts become 2020's version of a speakeasy? We'll get to that after this.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We go so hard we need a footstool.
We are embarrassing. The footstool. You're loving the footstool.
This
aren't
is
you?
The best I've felt in 3 months.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not going to lie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Golic and Wingo with you, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. A little more breaking news here. Not surprising, expected, but now official. Vince Carter has announced his retirement from the NBA after a 22-year career in the Ringer Podcast Network. His Hawks were not going to be part of the restart anyway.
Shame how his career ended, though.
Yeah, you know, it really was.
It just ended. You know, didn't get a great send-off. He's a guy, again, I want to see how old he gets to where he can still slam dunk. One of the greatest dunkers have ever seen with the hops that he had. I want to know, when this guy is 70, can he still get up over the rim?
And again, his greatest dunk did not take place in an NBA game. 2000 Olympics in Sydney, Australia. He dunked over a 7-foot Frenchman in the Olympics.
He went over him. It was unbelievable.
It's still one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. Again, not surprising. We talked about it when they weren't part of the bubble scenario. But again, official tip of the cap to Vince Carter.
Oh, my gosh.
Incredible career. So, what is and isn't acceptable risks for athletes to take, right? Because we talked about this with Taylor Twellman a few moments ago, and always great to talk to Taylor, about what you can and can't do as a player and the preparations you need to play during a pandemic, and how several teams of the Orlando team in the NWSL went to a bar, or they found out through contact tracing that they all tested positive, most of them asymptomatic, several players and staff. Because they went to a bar in Florida where there was no social distancing, people weren't wearing masks, and lo and behold, they had to drop out of the Challenge Cup. But what if I told you that teams and players on teams, to try and prepare to either resume a season or begin a season, are doing things that people are telling them not to do, and they're doing it anyway, which could put them at risk, but it's in a different light of going to a bar. For example, we saw the video the other day of Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans and other players all working out at a high school field in the Tampa Bay area, and the NFLPA has said, don't do that. And clearly Brady says, I don't care, you know, because they want to go out there and get ready for the season. But they're doing things that people are telling them not to do. And so if one of those players for the Bucks, because of that close proximity and workout situation, would test positive for doing something they're not supposed to do, would you look at it the same way as saying, oh, you went to a bar when you shouldn't have done it?
So, I mean, first there are your state and or city's regulations on the amount of people that can get together and social distancing, and then the leagues as well. And one of the mandates by the NBA is when the league was shut down, y'all couldn't get together for workouts, right?
Right.
For a while, it wasn't even allowed by law, you know, in your city. First, one of the more amazing things that I didn't know, that there are a couple of rumors floating around.
No, this one's incredible.
Here's a fact, though. There is a full-size replica of the Staples Center court that exists at a home in Los Angeles. The shoe executive, Steven Jackson, one of the owners of the LA Gear brand, he had it built in his Bel Air home, and multiple NBA teams have practiced at it over the years.
This is quite the flex.
I mean, let me tell you, that is just awesome. So what's been going on is the thought, and LeBron James' name came up in this, but others as well, that players have been practicing there, including LeBron James, working out together with other teammates, supposedly at this court at Steven Jackson, not the player, Steven right. Jackson, his home. So which again, when the season was shut down, it was, you can't do this. Y'all can't get together.
And we've seen some pictures posted on social media, apparently of LeBron and other players working out somewhere. We just didn't
somewhere.
Know where.
And that's the one thing these players tried to do, is not have pictures taken to be on social media. You know, this goes back to the discussion. Remember the NFL PA doctor had basically said, hey, players, don't be working out on your own now. Not the way to go.
Correct. And or with other players.
With other players. And what do we see? Tom Brady and about 8 other players continuing their workouts. And him saying, hey, okay, cool, you told me that, but
I got to do what I got to do.
Not even trying to hide this one, going out and practicing.
Out in public.
At least with these NBA players, they're going to a home that this happens to have a full replica of the of that court.
So as a fan of a certain team, would you feel the same way? Because there's a lot of scorn going on in the Orlando. How could you go to a bar and do this and not do social distance when they're clearly doing something that is in not their best interest? Do you feel the same way if the Lakers are working out together? Because there was those pictures earlier of Dak and Dez Bryant and Zeke all working out together arm in arm. And we're like, guys, what are you doing? How's it? But do you feel the same way if they're preparing for their sport?
No, I think you definitely feel differently if you say, well, at least they were preparing for their sport instead of, hey, we're about to go play in this Challenge Cup. Let's all go hang out together at a bar and whoop it up a little bit. And, oh, wait, that test came back positive? Okay, never mind. While still, it would be considered, and I'm using the air quotes, irresponsible to be doing this. Now, again, I don't know all these players that are practicing together. Did they make sure they were tested first? I have no idea about any of that. Did they say that's one of the prerequisites? If you're going to come practice here, you would have had to been tested. And obviously with a negative test, I don't know that.
Right.
But, you know, having guys sneak around, you know, we're going to go sneak out, you know, to a place to practice, I think fans will look at it that, hey, I love that commitment, yeah, knowing they're coming back. It's exactly right. Yeah. Respect the effort until, you know, four of them test positive. Then you're going, damn.
Yeah.
But no, I do think it'll be looked at differently. But this is what's going on. And this is what now we're starting to report. Who knows what else has been going on, if other players and other sports have been getting together to try and practice, you know, or has everybody just been doing it on their own? A couple of people, four people, five, who knows how many getting together to do this?
It is funny, right? Because you sneak out like to break curfew.
Yeah.
Now you're sneaking out to do the job. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just trying to do the job.
I'm trying to prepare for the season. I mean, boy, how times have changed of the things you're sneaking out for, right?
Yeah, exactly. So again, it's just weird. That's the only way we can describe it. It's just a really weird time as we're all trying to navigate what you can and can't do. And while figuring, it's like the line from Jurassic Park. You were so busy trying to figure out whether or not you could, you forgot to wonder whether or not you should. And that, I feel like that's sort of where we are in general when it comes to sports. And all of this is a ramp up to the NFL season, which has already seen its first major thing canceled. And we will get to that after this.
Full size NBA basketball court.
That's a flex, man.
At your house.
You know what kind of money that is? That's bleep you money.
That's money I'd like to have.
That's bleep you. That's Darius Rucker.
Time for a little. Ty, that might even be above Darius.
Love you, big boy.
Honestly.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
What's trending for us? Knicks president Leon Rose said Wednesday he intends to have the next permanent coach of the franchise in place by the end of July. Speaking in his first interview since he was hired in March, Rose told MSG Network's Mike Breen that he intends to have two phases of interviews. I do like this.
Yeah.
Conducting short meetings with candidates to break the ice. So
have a cocktail.
Cocktail or two, right?
Gotta have before ice
having
in the glass.
Before having full interviews over dinner with all these possible coaches. We're looking at a lot of different people, he said, with a lot of different mindsets and philosophies. And for me personally, this is educational. And I need to make sure that we go through this process. We dot every I, cross every T in order to make the right decision. The 2020 New York City Marathon, the latest event, sporting event to be canceled because of COVID-19. This was slated to be on November 1st, the 50th anniversary of the event. Organizers said they made the decision to cancel, certainly based on health and safety concerns for the runners, volunteers, spectators, and others. Last year included a world record 53,640 finishers. The 2021 New York Marathon is scheduled for November 7th, so those who registered for this year's race can either get a full refund of their entry or guaranteed entry for the 21, 22, or 23 marathon. And congratulations in order for six. Three of them, Jerome Aginla, Marian Hossa, and Kevin Lowe, are among the Hockey Hall of Fame inductees, which were announced on Wednesday. It's a six-member class highlighted by Aginla, one of the game's most respected player. It's considered a great ambassador of the game. He's going to be the fourth black player inducted into the NHL Hall of Fame. Skilled two-way wing. Hossa won the Stanley Cup with Chicago in 2010, 13, and 15. The class also includes defenseman Lowe and Doug Wilson, Canadian goaltender Kim St. Pierre in the women's category, and Edmonton's GM Ken Holland in the builder category. Golic and Wingo is brought to you by AutoZone. Need a part for your car and need it fast? AutoZone has more ways for you to get it however you want, like free next-day delivery or free same-day pickup in-store or curbside. The choice is up to you. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
All right, Golic and Wingo here with you, and we'll get to the NFL canceling the Hall of Fame game in a minute.
And again, congrats to the NHL, yes, the Hall of Famers. I mean, you know, good for them. What a great feeling that's got to be to get that call.
Listen, it's the most awesome, and along those lines, we won't be hearing those impassionate speeches this year because the NFL has canceled the preseason game and has at least postponed the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The game between the Cowboys and the Steelers, the extra fifth preseason game will not be played. But some interesting news just crossed, Mike, about the state of Mississippi. According to the Mississippi Clarion Ledger, Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach have found common ground for the two coaches for Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
Remember, we talked about those two coaches being the coach of Mississippi and Mississippi State and what that would mean for college football and how great that would be. Now, certainly has expanded beyond that.
Well, Kiffin and Leach plan to address the state legislature this morning. The coaches, along with Ole Miss Athletic Director Keith Carter and Mississippi State Athletic John Cohen, are expected to lobby the legislature about changing the Mississippi State flag to remove the emblem of the Confederate flag, which is on the state flag of Mississippi. I believe it's the last state to have any part of the Confederate flag as part of the state flag. And remember, we talked about this earlier because I can't remember if it was last week or earlier this week because days tend to run together at this point.
Yeah.
But Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill, a very good player for Mississippi State, has basically said, I can't represent the state anymore with that flag on there. And we all wondered, okay, Mike Leach has put some memes out there before that make you think that he's feeling a different way about a lot of things. But it looks like Kiffin and Leach are going to work together this morning, to lobby the legislature to change that flag. This is again like a very significant moment because once again, we're seeing college players.
Yeah.
Understanding the power they have to influence their coaches, where for so long it had been the other way around completely, a 180 where coaches told the players what to do. But now with what Chuba Hubbard has done at Oklahoma State and Kylan Hill making this stance now, we now see, according to the Mississippi Clarion Ledger, that both Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin are going to lobby the state legislature of Mississippi this morning to remove the Confederate flag from the state flag.
Remember, the SEC had said that no championship games would be held in the state of Mississippi as long as that flag was there, and you wonder what other things were going to come of it. And you, as you mentioned, the ballplayer at Mississippi State saying he can't represent that state anymore. And like the Confederate flag tray in NASCAR that a few years ago they kind of talked about getting rid of, but nothing materialized. Well, there was talk of a bit ago about a second state flag for Mississippi, which the governor then said, no, there's not going to be a second state flag. So again, here we are addressing this situation again with certainly way more steam behind it than before. So you got to wonder why. I think we know I would be stunned.
Yeah.
Would you not? If that wasn't taken off the state flag.
Well, you're exactly right, because we're talking about a direct economic impact, right? And whether it's right or wrong,
sometimes
that's what it takes. By the way, Mississippi's eight public universities released a joint statement last month condemning the flag, saying several years ago, our universities recognized that the Mississippi state flag in its current form is divisive and chose to lower the flag on our campuses. Today, we are committed to continuing to do our part to ensure Mississippi is united in its pursuit of a future that is free of racism and discrimination. Such a future must include a new state flag.
So, you know what it seems like, Trey? It seems like, and I'm sure as we've talked to many African Americans about, this has been over time, not these situations, but things they have been fighting for, where it seems at times things are done dipping a toe in the water, right?
Right.
Hey, in 2015, NASCAR talked about getting rid of the Confederate flag.
We really don't want it here.
But nothing happened. You know, they talked years ago, oh, we lowered the flag, you know, because we don't like what it stands for. Now, you know, people are jumping in with both feet, right?
Yeah.
It's a time to do that, to say, okay, no more just dipping a toe in and say, yeah, that's probably not a good idea. It's time to say, no. This needs to end. We need to stop this, whatever it is, be it a name on something, a statue. And listen, they're swinging it too far and going, you know, doing it with so many things that, you know, understand where, you know, what the specific situation here that you look at and say, yeah, this needs to change. And you can't just, as I said, dip a toe in the water on this and say, yeah, and then it kind of fades away. I think that's what a lot of people have been saying is, over time, we've seen a lot of people talk big, but then fade away. What has been all the talk now? Well, you know what? The talk better be followed by actionable things.
It's not a moment. It's a movement.
And we have seen actionable things happen, and actionable things are going to continue to go. Yeah. And I would have no doubt that one of those actions is going to be that state flag is going to be changed.
Listen, we all know Mississippi state history with racial inequality. It's there for everyone to see. But according to a poll from Mississippi's Economic Council, their own Mississippi Economic Council, 55% of voters polled supported changing the flag. Just 41% of Mississippi voters were opposed to changing the flag. So if your eight state universities are saying we need to make a change and the polling is there, I would simply ask, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
What's the point? Are you willing to, is this really something you're willing to stand up for and fight? Because if you are, You need to understand what you're standing for.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be
stunned.
Yeah.
If this is not.
It's going to change.
It
right?
absolutely will.
Yep.
Coming up 10 years later, will LeBron be criticized for another decision he may have made? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo. Stay with us.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.